Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with La Sierra Maslin today. La Sierra is our next Florida House of Representatives, District 13, and I'm looking forward to her being sworn in January of next year. And I pray that you are listening attentively to the questions and responses. La Sierra is running on a no-party affiliation. That means there's no obligation or allegiance to Republican or Democrat, that she can take a stand on issues that are facing we the people in the state of Florida and make the determination on what needs to be done that's best for we the people in the state of Florida. La Sierra, thank you again for joining us today. And ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917 if you're tuned in by way of internet. It's 904-831-0917. And ladies and gentlemen, the phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you, your dialogue and discussion, your questions and comments for La Sierra today. La Sierra, I believe, is our next District 13 representative in Tallahassee for we the people in the state of Florida. La Sierra, we were talking about just before the news break about the school system and the need for vouchers so that a parent can determine the school that they want their child placed in. There are some things that are inextricably linked with that aspect of our schools in the state of Florida. I'm thankful that Ron DeSantis, our present governor, made a determination that we're not going to be a lockdown state, that we're not going to be a mask mandate state, that the schools would remain open. And so I am thankful for that. What is your position and stand, just so that our listeners will understand some of the things that you align with? Do you stand in agreement with Governor Ron DeSantis? Do you stand in agreement with the policies that he's made since he's been in office and his leadership in Florida? And do you align with that? And would you stand behind him in what he continues to do in that realm?
Absolutely. Ron DeSantis has been, what some have said online, a savage. And what that means is he has just been the beast that we need, you know, in our government system. As far as the state of Florida, we have flourished because of some of his serious decision-making against all odds, against, you know, the rhetoric, the narratives, the constant, you know, badgering of the media. He has stood strong. He has stood solid. So I will definitely be a force to be reckoned with in supporting him. He has just worked so hard and so diligently, even as something as recent as Hurricane Ian, assisting those people down there and getting their power, food, water, even their roads back built and constructed in a expedient time frame. So, yes, I am in support of Ron DeSantis, and I did already vote. Well, I didn't vote for him, but I will be voting for him on November 8th.
That's good. I'm looking at an article, La Sierra. Says, DeSantis or Chris? Look who opened double-digit lead in new Florida governor poll. Republican Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida is ahead of his Democratic opponent, former Florida Governor Charlie Crist, by double digits in the state's gubernatorial race, according to a new survey released Wednesday. DeSantis leads Crist by 14%, earning the support of 55% of the respondents, with Crist only having 41% of the support by the respondents. La Sierra, hang on for just a moment. I believe we have Chris on the line. Chris, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, I am so in support of Ms. La Sierra Maslin. I feel like we need more candidates like her. I feel like our country is really under attack, and I praise God for just sending his remnant to help get this country back in the right direction. I mean, the devil is busy, but God, like the Bible says, we walk by faith and not by sight. So it may seem a certain way, but God is still in control. And I would like to say she has my vote, surely, and I'm going to wait to vote November the 8th. I just feel secure with that. And I just pray all November 8th there'll be a flood in of people just going in and voting for Ms. La Sierra Maslin. I feel like she's the perfect candidate, and it's time out for all the wickedness that's going on, the wicked people that get in office that are not truly for the people, and they're just for themselves and for whatever the enemy tactics are. And I just rebuke those evil ones in the name of Jesus, and I know that La Sierra Maslin is going to get in there and do what needs to be done. And I would like to ask her, how can I, is there anything she needs? How can I support? How can I, if she needs volunteers or something like that, I would like to volunteer, wave a sign, whatever I could do for her. So if she could tell me what she would need me to do, if I can volunteer, how do I go about it?
Thank you so much for what you're saying. I second the motion, by the way, with all that you've said. La Sierra, would you respond to Chris's question?
Sure. So right now we are at the various precincts. And we are waving flags, we are waving my yard signs, we are waving at the people, we are meeting the people right as they go in, obviously right outside the cones that, you know, where we can legally be. And we're just asking for the vote. So I would ask that you call me. My telephone number is 904-413-0530. Again, that's 904-413-0530. And just I'll get you scheduled, and you can just come out whenever you're available.
Amen.
Thank you.
Chris, thank you so much for your call. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Hi, my name's Thomas, and yeah, Les and Kenny. And I was just, I'm really in support of La Sierra. I think she's just brilliant in terms of what she does and serving her community. And my question to her, and I believe everyone should just go vote for her. But my question to her is, what are the two most important issues facing your district there's obviously education is very important. But what are the two things that you would consider to be the most important issues facing your district there?
Yes, sir, I appreciate that question, Tom.
So the two most important things is, you kind of hit it, one of the major things is our school system. Our school system, the CRT nonsense, is infiltrating our schools and our children. The genderism, transgenderism, the whole pick of, you know, sex day by day is really just bombarding our classrooms. And so that is something that is near and dear to me that I'm going to be doing major things regarding. And then it is also concerning the gun violence in our community. I don't know if you're familiar with the north side of Jacksonville, but that is, we have areas that are just completely ran down, and the violence is just absurd. And so those are the two major critical areas. And as far as the gun violence, I am pro Second Amendment. I believe that every citizen should be armed and have a right to defend themselves and their families.
Amen.
Because I truly believe the criminals are going to always, and hear me very clearly, they're going to always have their weapons, regardless of what they are. They're going to always have them to do their deed, and we need to have ours as well. And that does include any rifles, AR-15s, any of that. And I do also believe in open carry as well, because I feel like that puts the enemy on alert to know that, hey, you know, think twice before you approach me, myself, my family, my kids, my grandmother, any of that. And they just need to be served on notice that we're not going to tolerate them just coming in, doing what they want to do, and just taking our goods. So, yes, those are the two things, Thomas. I appreciate your question.
Very good. Thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for your call. I believe we have Jose on the line. Jose, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, I just got a comment, and I want you to take on it. I was talking to this one of those so-called asylum seekers, which literally are illegals. He was approved to get $520 in food stamps monthly. He had Medicaid already, and he's going to get $100 cash every month. Listen, I've been in this country for over 30 years. I haven't get a penny. I work for everything that I have. Is that any reason why we are at $31 trillion in debt and counting? This nonsense has to stop. Because why are we giving money free to these people that are breaking the law? Health insurance paid by us, and on top of that, cash. Is there any solution for that? Because I'm not happy with this, to be honest. I wonder if when we retire, there's going to be any money for us or for our grandkids and kids. This is insanity from the Democrats. What do you take on it? I'm not happy about this. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your call, Jose. Lassier, would you respond to Jose's question?
Sure. It was breaking kind of up in and out, and I think his accent was just a little bit thick for me. But what I understood you to say, Jose, is someone's getting food stamps. They're getting over $100. Something along like something's not, the fairness is not balanced is kind of my understanding of the whole statement. And so I understand what you're saying because I'm a Medicare insurance broker. And so I deal with insurance quite often, right? I deal with the Medicare and the Medicaid. So I see the inequities regarding that very area. And it's more so when I deal with the seniors. So I see that they are only getting $600 a month, or they've worked all their life and now they're only getting basically a bone to basically live off of. And so even though they qualify for certain areas, they're still only getting a few dollars to try to continue to try to live out, you know, their lives and take care of their everyday living expenses. And so, yes, there is something that can be done about it. That is also one of the things that is my concern and a part of my platform is getting some additional income for our seniors as well as our disabled veterans.
Yes,
and as far as what you're...
If I could add a footnote to that, I think one of the things, too, and it might be the point where the call broke up a little. Jose is concerned when we have, and what you're saying is so on target. What Jose was saying as a major thrust, I believe, was that we have the illegals coming in and they're receiving all of these benefits and they're not even citizens, and it's taken away, adding to the trillions of dollars that we have as a deficit and taken away from we the people that are citizens in America that need, and yet their needs are not being met. And yet the illegals coming in are. So how would you handle the illegal question?
Okay.
I know Governor DeSantis has been shipping some up to the Northeast. Do you agree with that? And what would you feel is necessary legislatively to make sure that these illegals do not get funds out of the till in the state of Florida?
Okay, now I got you. Sorry about that, Jose. So dealing with the illegals, oh my gosh, that is something that I'm not even willing to tolerate, not even a little bit. See, I have no toleration for breaking the law. Illegal is illegal is illegal. If you are in this country illegally, you will not receive not any form of benefit unless you are following the law. You can follow the law to become a natural citizen to receive benefits. If you do not have that certificate, you get nothing, okay? We're the land of the free, the home of the brave, but we're not gullible people. We are not naive people, and I'm not here to pay my tax money to people that ain't even supposed to be here. And here illegally at that, if I go out and break the law, I'm going to be served whatever the punishment is. The same thing should apply to those of them that are illegals coming from other countries, coming across our border, and just doing whatever they will to do once they get here. And then at having the audacity to act like they have every right to it. Sir, I would be presenting something very, very crucially concerning this area. And I agree completely with Ron DeSantis on shipping them back. In other states, but more so back where they came from. You know, that's what I would prefer. Ship them back where they came from. But since they're coming into our countries in the middle of the night, you know, being dropped off in the middle, send them back. We can take the funds and the same funds that they are sending them and providing them in other states, use those same funds and send them back where they came from. That's my take on that.
Sierra, and it is not fair. I've read the latest news on that issue. A liberal Democrat judge in South Florida had filed a case, and the judge just ruled that DeSantis now has to prove where the funds came from, why they were expended, how they were expended, and on what premise they were expended in shipping some of these illegals back to New York and to Washington. And so we need to pray for the governor, for him to continue to stand tall in that realm. I believe we have another caller. Stephanie, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, I was just calling to give my support for Latina Magna. I love everything that she's doing. I love everything that she stands for. I appreciate her coming out into the community and shaking hands with us. So I just wanted to give my thumbs up and give my appreciation for what it is that you are trying to represent for our city of Jacksonville.
Thank you so much, Stephanie, for that call. It's an encouragement, I know, to La Sierra, and I am thankful that you're tuned in and that you have given your position. La Sierra, take just a moment. Let's switch gears. You're facing an incumbent, and may I just use the term that you probably would not want to. You're facing a socialist, Marxist, liberal, Democrat incumbent. How would you explain to our listeners and to your supporters the differentiation between you and the incumbent? Without calling her name, what does she stand for? How does she stand on the moral, ethical, political issues versus how you stand, and what difference it will make with you being in that office rather than her?
Absolutely. So, of course, she is everything as far as a Democrat represents in these times, unfortunately. I am the woman of God that is not just operating naturally, but I'm also walking in the spirit. That is the difference between her and I. She is more about everything is racist, everything is divisive, and then her platform is on how she hates DeSantis and how he's just a racist. Instead of being more about what she's done for the community of District 13, she led some form of protest in the state house, which was just completely inappropriate, instead of putting her head down and working. And if she felt like there was an error or an issue, you put your head down and work, you get along with who you need to get along with in order to get the job done for the people of Jacksonville. And so that is the major difference with her. She is, I'm against abortion. It is murder, obvious, and it's the number one killer of the black community.
That's right.
I am black, and so therefore I am not a traitor to my race. I understand that more black children are being aborted than are being born. She
yes.
is obviously the opposite. She is not for the Second Amendment, which is the right to protect and bear arms. And just so many other things. She's obviously for the critical race theory and so on. So basically what you have is completely night and day on the ballot between myself and my opponent.
Absolutely. And that is the thing that I want our listeners to understand. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with our next representative for our District 13 in the Florida House. And I pray that you're listening well. That telephone number, if you'd like to ask La Sierra Maslin any questions, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you, your position, your thoughts, your questions. We're running up just a few days before the election. I believe it's time for the truth to be heard, for us to take a stand on the issues that we need to stand on morally, ethically, and biblically. La Sierra, I think we've touched on an issue that may have a slight overlap. But you know, the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, which, by the way, never have had the CDC, for the listeners' benefit, they've never had the authority to make law or to set forth law or to set forth an agenda for carrying out a law. But in the past 2 years, they have usurped that authority. And most people look at them as being a law center that tells us what we need to do as people. Just recently, the board on CDC, which has 15 members, the 15 members voted 15-0 that will require every student in the public school system to take the COVID death jab. Now, what is your position on that? And do you believe legislation should be introduced very early in Tallahassee that would prevent the students in the state of Florida from falling under the guidelines of being forced, children being forced to take the COVID jab? What is your position? How would you respond to that? And do you believe that the parents should keep a child in any school that requires the COVID jab?
Not at all, Dr. Youngblood. I stand against the CDC trying to be the know-it-all of the recorded experts, supposedly, legislators and any other roles that they try to formulate. I stand against the jab in its entirety. I stand against it completely, regardless of school choice or it being on the immunization form, and forcing the children to have it prior to going to school. It is not enough data nor statistics to back up this jab in the first place. It shouldn't have even really been presented if we were going to look at what like people like to call science, okay? If you really know the science, it's not enough science behind this jab to even be enforcing in the first place. And
right.
Also, the same folks that tried to enforce it are the same ones saying it don't work, it never did work. Everything they said is basically now means nothing. So, no, I'm completely against that. I think it's completely, man, it kind of just makes me feel so frustrated in the fact that they have the audacity to think that now we're going to now try to force your children, the little ones, to now have to have this. When in the beginning they said children don't even receive it. The messages have been so inconsistent and so just diabolically calculated, okay, that it just blows my mind a lot of times. I'm just sitting here thinking, how in the world? And that's what makes me bolder and bolder and more radical and more radical, because I feel like I won't dare allow the enemy's people to dare try to do and feel like they can do any and everything they want to do and not me take a stand with the only God that has all the power. So I just implore you all to get out and vote. Please, as Dr. Youngblood has already said, vet your candidates. I am a person that is not going to stand for this mess. If you are wanting to, if it's by choice, if you want to, but what we're not going to do here in America, because we're not communists, we are not going to do anything by force.
Amen. That's a breath of fresh air I would have our listeners to understand. The mindset seems to have devolved in the past few years, the past couple of years in particular, that mayors, governors, representatives, and senators, and a president that thinks that somehow, some way, they can just by fiat issue an executive order, and we the people must submit and surrender our Bill of Rights in order to succumb to their whims, wishes, and demands. Let's see, I'm looking at an article that's interesting. Headline says, early voting 2022 outpaces normal midterm election numbers comparable to 2018 data. And it goes on to talk about the astronomical number of votes that have already been accumulated in the early voting across the nation. And at the time this article was written, which has been about 8 days ago now, almost a million in the state of Florida had already voted. And across the nation, some 3.7 million had already voted. From your position of political analyst analyzing the scenario, do you believe this bodes well for conservatives, or does this seem to point to a more sinister ending?
Well, you know, more so, well, I don't like to, well, let's just be real, because I don't like to speak negatively, but I'm going to be real. I don't like the fact that I hear that numbers like that have already voted, especially mail-in ballots.
Yes.
I'm a little bit nervous when it comes to that, because I feel like I'm meeting people that are well able, well capable of walking into a precinct and voting, you know, but they are telling me, oh yeah, I mailed it in already. And I'm like, why, you know, why won't you just wait and just go in? Anyway, that is something that I feel like is, time will tell. You know, I want to hope for the best, but I want to hope that people have woken up to what's happening. I heard on the news today, you know, people are, you know, a red wave is coming and people are awake and, you know, the Dems are trying this and they're trying that. And so I want to believe in the American people. I want to believe that they understand that, you know, what's at stake. And that's why they're hurrying up and they're going to vote. And that's why, you know, the number is high as it is.
Let's hear this two or three very brief items that I would like for our listeners to hear your take on. I am gravely concerned that across America and in our state, right here in the city of Jacksonville, that we've had the mindset by our mayor and some others that we need to destroy our national heritage monuments, and thinking somehow, some way, we can whitewash, change, or modify our history. History, good or bad, still needs to be represented in our monuments, our legacy monuments. Would you take a stand? I know in 2019, Representative Hill introduced legislation that would make it illegal in the state of Florida to remove any of our legacy monuments. And even the Republicans at that time did not want the bill to go to the floor to be debated. We're not even letting it go to a committee or subcommittee. So it means, tells me, it will be difficult to get legislation passed, but are you interested in trying to stand for that? I've traveled across the nation. I've seen monuments and placards and so forth that I disagree with, but I agree with their right to have those there. And yet we're seeing the contrary coming out of the left. I call it the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party. What is your position on that? Thoughts quickly.
Anytime a Democrat's corner, you know, is not of any good. And so most I've heard, you know, they say, you know, is yes to the statues being there and no, it doesn't really matter. I never did really see them, blah, blah, blah. What my take is simply is this, you know, we always need to know where we came from so we don't repeat history, right? We need to know where we've come from. And so I would absolutely have the opportunity and will give the argument of keeping our statues, you know, irregardless, because if when you go down the path of that, then what else is up for grabs? What else are they willing to do? Now what you're going to go around just, you know, as they rename football teams, they, you know, what we're going to start doing, renaming colors. We're going to start, you know, they're starting to rename genders. And I mean, what is not going to be, you know, an area that you can't touch? If we just continue this path of just renaming everything and just doing away with all history, then what are we going to have? You know, what's going to be off limits? And so I just believe it's just a downhill spiral of just foolishness. It's just plain old foolishness. We live in the land of the free, home of the brave. We're so blessed. We're the only country that is number one as to why everybody wants to live here. And we're just so successful to the point that we create problems for ourselves. We're just so blessed, and we don't have nothing better to do than go around thinking, oh, we just need to get rid of this statue and that statue, and we need to put out this narrative and talk about this rhetoric, you know, to just brainwash people into thinking that we're divided, and we're not. We're unified like never before. And I've seen that firsthand since I've been running for office in the communities. People are awake, and they don't feel racist against one another. So
we've got about 45 seconds on the broadcast. Okay. Would you take that time to give our listeners information how to reach you, how they can help, and invite them to vote for La Sierra Maslin?
Sure, absolutely. Yes, please. I am on the ballot. La Sierra Maslin, no party affiliation. November the 8th, I am just listed with a Dem, and I just ask that if you would like to assist in volunteering and covering some of these precincts, you can reach me at 904-413-0530. Again, 904-413-0530.
La Sierra, thank you so much for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
To Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.